Shalom, Ariel. Shalom, Ariel. How are you? Oh, 1 second. I'm not hearing you. 1 second. Oh. Okay. What'd you say? This is annoying. It's not working. Okay. Sorry. Say that again.
But now I can't hear you.
You can't hear me anymore? Oh, okay.
No, I can't.
Okay, fine. Sorry. I had an external microphone just for the audio quality, but my laptop thought it also has headphones. And that's the number. It's okay. Baruch Hashem, how are you? How's Yeshiva?
Baruch Hashem, it's good.
Yeshiva's good? Okay. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. And what are you, how much longer do you have? It's 1 more month and then the semester's over, right?
Yeah, about.
Okay, what are you doing for your 2 weeks off?
3 weeks? I don't know. Probably like studying.
Okay.
Like having time to like learn. It's
going to be nice. Good, Baruch Hashem. Have they announced anything about next semester yet, or they don't know anything?
No, I think it's getting towards being online again.
Oh, yeah? That's,
yeah.
Okay. That's really too bad. Oh. What can we do? What can we do? Okay.
There are people here making shchita knives, like sharpening the...
Oh, yeah, they have their shchita class. Yeah, yeah.
That's so cool.
Really? Yeah? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they have their shchita class on regularly. Yeah, I've seen them before. I didn't. Rabbi Ben Chaim also teaches how to do these things. Yeah. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. Here's Chacham Matt. He's also joined us. Okay. Baruch Hashem. And I guess we'll get started. Okay. So now what were we talking about this week? Yeah. Okay. So really tonight is a capstone. Tonight is really a capstone to everything that we've been discussing. And that, you know, we've discussed what materials require tevila. We've discussed clay se'uda. You know, what functions could mandate require tevila for a keli? We've discussed for a long time manufacturing processes with workers and factories. And this really all brings it together, tonight's topic of disposable kelim. When you get a bottle of wine, it's made of glass. It has food in it. Snapple bottle. All sorts of things that we have, you know, aluminum pans. All of these things are clearly tevila requiring, right? We all know that when we buy metal or glass kelim used for food preparation and serving, that we have to take them to the mikveh. But have we really given enough thought to the fact that we might actually not be doing this enough? We all use glass bottles of Coke, Pepsi, wine, Snapple, coffee, metal cans of pre-cut vegetables, beans. You know, the list goes on and on and on of the various metallic... Oh, Chacham, Liviam, and Kohanim, good to see both of you together. We all use a whole assortment of packagings for foods that are made of metal or glass and used for food. So how come we don't take them to the mikveh? Have we ever just considered that maybe... Have we ever considered that maybe it's usher to drink out of a Snapple bottle? Oh, Rabbi, it has an OU on it. Okay, but it doesn't have Hashem's name on it. Who said that it's okay to drink out of the Snapple bottle? The food might be kosher, but who says that the bottle is kosher? It's quite an interesting thing to think about. Maybe we're not allowed to drink out of the Snapple bottle. Maybe we have to pour it into a cup first if we want to drink it from it. If we want to drink the Snapple. This issue of food packaging is, and for part one of our shiur, and part two is aluminum pans. Aluminum pans don't come with food inside of them for the most part. We put food inside of them ourselves. And there's a great debate about whether or not they require tevilat kelim, and halacha l'maaseh is quite interesting. Quite interesting. So let us begin. Yeah.
Aluminum, regardless, is not one of the seven metals that were listed by the Torah anyway.
Right, so we'll have to discuss. That's step number one for aluminum. Right, we discussed this in our second or first or second shiur even. The metals, the requirements of metals. Which metals require tevilah and which ones do not. So we'll have to use that as one of our initial points to discuss also when we get to part two. Now let's discuss part one for now. There are four prevalent shitot among the posekim. Four prevalent shitot among the posekim when it comes to disposable food packaging. Let me ask you a question. Is it mutar to open up a can of beans on Shabbat? A soda bottle on Shabbat? Is it mutar?
Yeah.
You gotta paskin. You can't just
it's
machloket. It's machloket. Oh, answering every and to every question in halacha, is it a machloket? The only thing that's not a machloket is Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. That's it. No, everything else is a machloket. 100%. Huh?
When you say it is a
machloket, it is also a machloket. When you say it is also a machloket, nachon. And is it min haTorah or is it min haRabbanon? It's also a machloket. How much of it is a
There's an opinion that you open up on Shabbat, you've made a kli, so it might be a sort to open.
Oh! Rabbi Eliyasi can give the shir.
No.
Okay, fine. What's asur one more time? Why can't you open a soda bottle on Shabbat?
Ashkenazim don't open them.
Why not?
They open them the day before.
Why not?
Because it's forming a kli by opening it for the first
time. You're forming a kli. And what's the other shita?
You're breaking the ribbon.
There's a little bit more to it, though. Aren't you making a kli either way?
I don't know. Maybe you're making a kli with the cap and the bottle. I don't know.
It's not a kli. And it's already a kli.
Oh, it's already a kli.
It's already a kli, right? So according to those who hold, many who hold that, like Rav Moshe Feinstein, that it's asur to open on Shabbat, because you made a kli. Chacham Etzion Avishal also holds asur to open on Shabbat because you're making a kli. Chacham Avadia holds it's not asur to open on Shabbat. You're not making a kli. It's already there. So now wait a minute. You bought a kli from a goy. You bought a Snapple bottle from a goy. Then you opened it. Did you really buy a kli from a goy? No. It wasn't a kli. When you open it, it becomes a kli. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, you don't have to take the Snapple bottle to the mikveh. It wasn't a kli when you bought it. Imagine you take, a cup, and you cement the top of your cup. Is it a kli anymore? No! So, what's the difference between cement and plastic? Cement and metal, it's all the same thing. So what, there's something inside? If it's sealed, it's sealed. It's not a kli anymore. So Rav Moshe says, for that reason, Rav Moshe says, it only becomes a kli when you open it. It never had a shame goy. It never had the name of a goy attached to it. And therefore, it does not require tevilah. Rav Moshe also gives another explanation. Now, I sit and learn Gemara all day long. I sit and learn Halacha all day long. I'm learning Nashim Nizikin when I'm learning Gemara. I'm learning Orachayim Yoradeh and Evin Ezer when I'm learning Halacha. I'm not up to Choshen Mishpat yet. I'm not learning Zraim. I don't know anything about Peah. I don't know anything about Bikurim. Rav Moshe knows Kol HaTorah Kula. And in order to be posek, you need to know Kol HaTorah Kula. And Rav Moshe says that there's a Mishnah in Maaser Sheni. There's a Mishnah in Maaser Sheni that says that the basket that you bring your Maaser Sheni with you to Yerushalayim has Kedusha of Maaser Sheni. I don't know enough about the Mishnah. I might be botching the Mishnah for all I know. But from what I understood, and from what I remember, Rav Moshe says that it gets the kilipa, the shell, the peel, the basket, the container of the food is batel to the food. And therefore, when you purchased the food from the Goa, you purchased that bottle of Snapple or iced tea or whatever it is, the Starbucks coffee, Snapple, Zichron Levracha, it no longer has glass bottles. They only have plastic. It was a different door. Back in the day, they had glass bottles. But the Starbucks, espressos, Via, whatever, they all come in glass. So, and the wine bottles all come in glass. We'll talk about wine bottles separately also. But they all come in glass. So that would, l'chaora, require tzivila. Or all of the metal $1 cans of beans and corn and everything. Those are all metal. Aluminum, okay, we'll get there. But Rav Moshe says they're really batel to the food. He says, really, if you wanted to, you could the goy would sell you the beans for the same price. He probably wouldn't even reduce the price. Because it's really not the can that you're buying. You're really buying the food. And therefore, Rav Moshe says, since it's batel, even when you empty it out, you can refill it, and that's not called usage. It is called usage, but you didn't buy a kli from a goy. You brought a peeling, a packaging from a goy. And therefore, you made it a kli, and it was always a packaging until you got it. Rav Moshe says, therefore, it's mutar to use it again once it's emptied, and it's fine. These two reasons. You made it a kli when you opened it, and it was a peel until you opened it. Rav Moshe suggests are enough to be matir. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach points out, on the first one of making it a kli, that's not enough. It's not enough to just say you made it a kli, Rav Shlomo Zalman says. And therefore, Rav Shlomo Zalman says you need both reasons for Rav Moshe. Whereas Chacham Ben Zion said, no. He didn't understand what's going on in Ma'aser Sheni. Rav Moshe didn't know what that Mishnah was talking about. He made a mistake. That answer is wrong. But the first answer is good enough on its own anyway, so it's okay. That's what Chacham Ben Zion says. So don't worry about that. Those are Rav Moshe's two answers, famous two answers Rav Moshe gives to explain why it's mutar to drink out of a Snapple bottle on Shabbat, and without taking it to the mikveh. Shlomo Zalman has it a little bit different. He says that when you got the Snapple bottle, you didn't put the Snapple into the bottle. You didn't put the Starbucks into the bottle. Some goy did. He doesn't have a mitzvah of tevilat kelim. When you got it, all you're going to do is empty it out. Emptying, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, is not considered active usage, it's considered passive usage. Passive usage, the Maharal Diskin is famously quoted in this, he's the big name in this Shita. Maharal Diskin says that passive usage is fine, but then Rav Shlomo Zalman says, let's say you have sardines in a can. You can't open it up and then put it on the fire. Because that's active usage. You can leave it closed and put it on the fire, but you can't open it up and put it on the fire. You have to empty it and put it somewhere else first. And let's say you have a jar that has like a cap, like a mason jar. You bought it like a jar of pickles. You emptied it out. You finished all the pickles. All the chiyar shit was great. And now you want to make your own chiyar, your own torshi. And you want to put your torshi in a pickle jar. Take the jar to the mikveh first. Further usage, Rosh Shlomo Zalman says, further usage requires tevila, unlike Rav Moshe, says Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. And he says, go upstairs to SVM, first floor of SVM, you have an array of coffee. You have four different options of instant coffee to take from, and they are all in metal canisters. So what do? You take a spoon, you open the canister, you spoon out a little bit of coffee, and Ariel, you're already on the first floor, so you don't have to go upstairs. But Aryeh and Kobe do. Fine. So you take the spoon, and you spoon out some coffee. You're like, hey, this is too much. What are you going to do with it? You're going to put it back? Is that active usage or passive usage? Rosh Hashanah at first thought, that's Asur. But then he realized, wait a minute. I'm not cooking any coffee in the canister. It's storage. And we spoke about storage containers. Storage containers don't require tevila, meikar adin. This is like putting everything together. Storage containers don't require tevila, meikar adin. Therefore, Rosh Shlomo Zalman said that for the coffee canisters, if you want to put it back inside, you take out five pickles and you want to put them back inside when you're done eating into the pickle jar, it's fine. Because it's just for storage anyway, you're not cooking in there. If you want to cook in there, so then you have to do tevila.
Didn't we mention mentioned when regarding storage containers that it's only because they were too big to take to the mikvah. It's not that they didn't need it.
So it's a machloket by storage containers, but because it's already a machloket, then we are there's more room to be mekel here. That's the thing. You're right. So storage containers, Chacham Avadia said that the very, very big ones, that is very hard for the hotels on the beach in Tel Aviv to schlep into the water, they can just rely on the fact that they're a hotel, and therefore they don't have to. Even though Chacham Avadia on the books writes, they don't have to ever for restaurants and hotels, he says it's better anyway, he's always machmir as much as possible, that the restaurants take it anyway. But of course, the huge things we heard, like you said, the Chacham Avadia was mekel on that. But in general, there is a whole machloket by storage. So we can rely on the mekilim in such situations. That was the part of the idea. That was option number two. Rav Moshe says it became a kli now. It's a klipa. It's a peel. Rav Shlomo Zalman said, no. Passive usage. It's mutar. The wine bottle on your table, Rav Shlomo Zalman said, is just storage. You don't have to take the wine bottle to the mikveh to use it. For further usage, you do. But for right now, you don't. You can empty it out. What about the Jewish winery? The Jewish winery in the Galil, did they take the wine bottle to the mikveh? I don't know. Doesn't say anything on it. What am I supposed to do? Ask the kashrut organization. But for right now, can I drink out of the wine bottle? It is permissible. That's option number two. Option number three is really Rav Chaim Ozer Gudinsky. Rav Chaim Ozer Gudinsky was one of the biggest Gedolei Yisrael to set foot on Europe in the 20th century. He was the rabbi in Vilna for many years, and he had a tremendous, tremendous hashpa as a posek in the world. Rav Cook invited him to become Rav HaRashi of the world, basically. Rav Cook was going to be the Rav HaRashi of Yisrael, and Rav Chaim Ozer was invited to become the Rav HaRashi of Kol Bnei HaGola. He turned it down, saying, I have more work to do here in Vilna than sitting in Eretz Yisrael. So, you want to join the shiur for a minute?
Yeah.
Okay. 1 minute, you can join the shiur. Say, this is Daniel Ovadia. This is Daniel Ovadia. Moshe Sevi is asleep, and Daniel Ovadia is here for the shiur. Say hi. Can you say hi? These are Abba's friends. They're all waving at you, because they're all learning Torah with Abba. You want to learn Torah also? Great. Okay. You can stay for a little bit. So, Rav Chaim Ozer is quoted. Rav Chaim Ozer is quoted that you don't have to worry about your wine bottle, because when you bought the bottle of wine, you were buying wine. You were buying wine, and wine is not a wine bottle. You had no kavana to purchase the bottle of the wine. Your whole kavana, he says, was to purchase the wine. And that's the opinion of the Sri Deish. Oh, you want to show them your Torah? Yeah? He's show and tell. Show and tell. I also have some show and tell for afterwards.
How about this?
Oh, Ariel's video is not showing. Right. Ariel didn't want to show his video. It's okay. Okay? Now, should Abba continue this year? Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Rav Chaim Ozer, the Sri Deish. Ariel's back. So Rav Chaim Ozer, the Sri Deish, and the Mishnah Halachot, Rav Menashe Klein, all say that if you don't have intention to purchase it, and Mistama, you don't have intention to purchase it, it is fine. How do I know that Rav Chaim Ozer says this? He doesn't have a teshuvah about this in Achi Ezer, in his Shelo Teshuvot Sefer. But I have a Sefer that quotes him. All the way up there, above my head, like right there. I can't reach it right now, for logistical reasons. Is a sefer called She'erit Yosef. She'erit Yosef is written by Rav Shlomo Warman. Rav Shlomo Warman was the Rosh Yeshiva of Hank for many years. He was a massive Talmid Chacham who lived in Queens. And, you know, I'm a young guy, but I have friends who are Rebbes and Yeshivas already. And I can tell you they're not big Talmid Chachamim. And I'm not sure if they're going to become. I hope they do. I hope that they learn. But the trajectory is not so strong. Rav Shlomo Warman was a Talmid Chacham par excellence. He literally wrote Sefarim under pseudonyms, articles under pseudonyms, eventually published Sefarim, and when he sent his Sefer to Rav Eliashiv in like the 70s when he published his first Sefer, 15 years later he went to visit Rav Eliashiv, and he told Rav Eliashiv, my name is Shlomo Warman. Rav Eliashiv says 1 minute, goes to the back room, comes back with a sefer Sheirit Yosef, Chelek Aleph, and says, this is your sefer? He says, yes. Harav Shlomo Warman, he told him. You know what you're talking about. So, Rav Shlomo Warman learned in Cincinnati. Say bye-bye. Say time to go night-night. Can you say bye-bye, everybody? Bye-bye. Okay, great. So, Rav Shlomo Warman learned Torah in Cincinnati before he came to New York. He learned Torah in Cincinnati by Rav Lazer Silver, who was the chief rabbi, basically, of America. And he heard that from Rav Chaim Moser Gudzinski. So, Rav Warman writes this in Rav Shem Rav Chaim Moser in his Sefer. And nowadays, not everyone knows to quote this. Baruch Hashem, I have a set of Sheirit Yosef. I went to Hank, Baruch Hashem, and I didn't have a Warman, but I was already after his time. But I tracked down through eBay. I tracked down all the volumes I could, and I'm still missing one or two. So the 9 volumes of Sheirit Yosef. Anyway, so that's opinion number 3. But really, these are all like just it's metal. It's used for food. Shouldn't it go to the mikveh? The answer Rav Schechter says is, yeah, it's not right. You gotta take it to the mikveh. Yeah. Therefore, Rav Schechter says, can't drink out of a Snapple bottle. Asur to drink out of a Snapple bottle. Should always take a cup and pour it from the Snapple bottle into the cup and then drink it. And if you want to reuse the Snapple bottle, you have to take it to the mikveh with a beracha. That's in fact what Rav Schechter says to do. Not everybody follows that. There's a lot of other poskim out there. But that's the opinion of Rav Schechter. He thought that was more compelling than everybody else's. He'd say, asur to drink out of the Snapple bottle. That was part one of the shiur. Any questions so far? We had 4 opinions. Rav Moshe, Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Chaim Ozer, and Rav Schechter. Rav Moshe has 2 reasons. You made it a kli, or it's the peel. Rav Shlomo Zalman said, passive usage until active usage. And Rav Chaim Ozer said, you're not buying it. Rav Schechter is a little bit different from Rav Shlomo Zalman. Rav Schechter agrees, for a wine bottle, you don't drink out of the wine bottle. You drink out of a cup. That's passive usage. It's just storage of the wine in the bottle. But when you pour out of the, when you're drinking out of a Snapple bottle directly, that's active usage, Rav Schechter says, and therefore that is prohibited. That is his opinion. Now that brings us to part number 2. Part number 2 is aluminum pans. And this is where it gets really exciting. Really exciting. Because as Rabbi Eliassi remembers, as it's Pashup Shad in the Torah, there are only 6 metals listed when it comes to Tevilat Kelim in the Torah. Ed ha Zahav, Ed ha Kesev, Ed ha Nechoshet. Huh?
Is that 7?
I think it was 6. Zahav, Kesev, Nechoshet, Bedil, something and Ofaret.
Barzel.
Barzel, yeah. Barzel, Bedil, and Ofaret. So, Ofaret. So I think there's only 6. So aluminum is not one of them. So we said out there's a great machloket. Is this a literal list? It's davka, only these 6? Or it's lav davka, not necessarily these 6, but rather any other metals that were discovered later on as well. Of course, Hashem created the world. He knows about all the elements out there. And he knows what's included and what's not. Why should you put it past him to, you know, what should be included and what shouldn't be? This letter of Moshe Feinstein, though, to disagree. And he said that really, min haTorah, aluminum does not require tevila. But Rav Moshe said that since it's similar to glass, and glass requires tevila because it's meltable, and just like a kli, it can be reconstituted, and just like metal, it can be reconstituted into a keli, so too, aluminum would require tevila, midirabanan. That was the amazing opinion of Rav Moshe Feinstein. Now, one second. It should be clear, though, that Rav Moshe's shita is actually further interesting because of Rav Belsky. Rav Belsky says how you and I look at aluminum like it's metal. Like obviously, it's metal. But the truth is that aluminum is not really so metallic. If you look on the periodic table of the elements, aluminum is actually a post-transitional metal. It doesn't conduct electricity like other metals do, because it has a valence electron. Because of its valence electron and its location on the periodic table, it's not as magnetic. If you look, it's listed to the left, it's listed to the right of all of the metals. It's not part of the metallic group. It's one or two columns over.
And aluminum is Na?
Huh?
Aluminum is Na?
I think it's Ai, no? Al.
AI.
No? Let's see. Aluminum is Al, yeah. So I can show you guys right here. So we have this periodic table right here. Aluminum is, you see right there. The metals are here. In the middle, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, transition metals. Let's see this one. So aluminum is right there. That's really annoying. On the left, you have, from the left to the right, you have lots of metals. So in alkaline metals, transitional metals, and then on the right, the pink area, you have other metals. It's a post-transitional metal. It's very far from being metallic like gold and silver are. So and gold is over here in 79, silver I think is above it. So because of that, Ravelsky says halacha does not view aluminum to be so metallic, and therefore Rav Moshe could very well be right that aluminum does not require tevilat kelim. That said, Rav Moshe says it doesn't require minat Torah. It still requires midirabanan. So now you have to deal with that. What do you do with aluminum? So, seemingly, everybody should agree that aluminum pans require tevila. They're made of metal, and they're used to cook food. Why doesn't it require tevila? Of course it does. Have you ever heard of anybody who does that? You actually have. A couple people. Rav Schechter holds that it's metal, it's used for food, take it to the mikveh. So Rebbetzin Schechter tries as much as she can. Whenever she buys aluminum pots and aluminum pans, she takes them to the mikveh before she brings them home. But we'll see how this is a great debate, and it might or might not be as hard as you think. We'll see. Now, what did Rav Moshe say? How did Rav Moshe deal with tevilat kelim for aluminum? Because Rav Moshe's Shita, unfortunately, has resulted in much misconception about what Rav Moshe said, but people not understanding what he said properly. Rav Moshe says that based on another Mishnah Maaser Sheni, the same Mishnah Maaser Sheni by the baskets, and the Mishnah basically says that, or it's a Rambam in Hilchot Kelim, that if you have a Kli that cannot stand on its own, it won't last. After a few uses, the Kli will fall apart. The Rambam says that Kili is not Mikabel Tum'ah. Therefore, Rav Moshe says, if you have a Kli that after a number of usages will break, aluminum things, if they're cheap enough, and after enough usages, they'll fall apart, they'll tear, they'll crack, whatever it is. So, that's not a Kli. It's not Mikabel Tum'ah, and therefore it does not require Tevila. Rav Moshe says, even if you can get away with using it a bunch of times, that's still not a Kli. Only if it's possible for it to last numerous uses would it require tevila. That's the opinion of Rav Moshe. Now, this led to much misconceptions, because people thought that, aluminum and disposables, you're only using them once, therefore it doesn't require tevila. Sounds like, whenever I have a kli that I didn't take to the mikveh, I get a one free usage. Get out of tefillah free card. With every kli that I buy, and I don't have to take it to the mikveh for the one time, after the first time I can take it to the mikveh. That's totally incorrect. Nobody in the world says that. Either it came pre-filled, you can use it until you empty it, and either you don't take it anymore, says Rav Moshe, because it's batel to the food, or pre-filled, finish it, Rav Shlomo Zalman says take it to the mikveh. Or it's aluminum, it wasn't pre-filled. You got to take it now. You have to take it now, or you don't have to take it at all. If you hold like Rav Shechter, you take it now. If you hold like Rav Moshe, you don't have to take it at all. Because it's only aluminum, and it's going to break. And since it's going to break, it's not going to last. Therefore, it does not require tevila. Rav David... Yeah, please.
So I was gonna ask. Let's say it's the, let's say like a beer can, a can of beer.
Mm-hmm.
90% of the world drinks beer out of the can itself.
Mm-hmm.
Only like a few classy people pour right. a beer, can of beer into a glass and
right.
drink it.
That's
nothing
right.
wrong with that, but I'm just saying, like, right. the medical alum
right.
is to drink out of a beer can.
Right.
Is it on Stuart to drink out of the beer can?
So it depends. This is only the first Shiloh. It's not the second Shiloh. The first one is you have packaging. So according to Rav Moshe Feinstein, it's packaging, it's batel, even if it's made of metal.
I mean, but it is the kli.
Right, that's okay.
When you're buying it, you're saying, I'm using this as the kli.
Right, but either you made it into a kli, or the kli is batel to the food, or Rav Shlomo Zalman said it's just passive usage until you had empty the first time. Or the other is like Rav Chaim Elozer said, you bought the kli, but you didn't really buy the kli. You bought the food, and it came with the kli. But you don't really care about the kli at all. You actually don't want it, because then you'll have to take it to the mikveh.
Right.
That was the things. But now we're talking about empty aluminum pans. And you're going to put food inside of it and cook with it. So you can't tell me you made it into a kli, because it came as a kli. You can't tell me it's batel to the food, didn't come with any food. You can't tell me you didn't plan on buying it, because you did plan on buying it. So... you didn't buy anything else. How are you going to say anything else? What else did you buy? The receipt? That's not what you bought. So Rav Moshe says this idea that if it won't last, then it doesn't require tevila. The question is, what does that mean, doesn't last? We're not going to get too far into it because it's kind of, you know, no one really knows the emet. By what Rav Moshe meant by it's not going to last. Is that 2 usages, 5 usages, 20? What does he mean by using? You know, my pots and pans will eventually break one day also, which is, you know, general usage. Sometimes some things break. How do you define usage? This is a big machloket amongst Rav Moshe's Talmidim. Between Rav Heinemann, Rav First, and other people, Rav Moshe's Rav Bluth and Rav Felder, they all say Rav Moshe slightly differently. So, and the way Rav Moshe's language in the Tshuva was, and in an article that he wrote, and it's a whole discussion. Rav David Cohen summarized it very well. Ayin Sham, we're not going to get that deep into this. But there was a great debate about how many times. Rav Heinemann says very simple. If you're only going to use it one time, no tevila. You're going to use it more than one time, tevila now at the beginning. Because if you're planning using it for more than one time, it's going to last more than one time, so then do a tevila now. It's already a keli. Whereas some say Rav Moshe meant that if you change your mind or something later on, then maybe you have to do tefillah later, not now. Okay, we're not getting that far into this. Big discussion what Rav Moshe meant. Kitzer, Rav Moshe said, if it's not going to last, it's not a keli. Rav Shechter thinks, it's metal, clay seuda. And so what, it's not going to last? Sof kol adam lamut. Everyone's going to die one day. But right now you're alive, you're chay v'kayam. So this keli is alive right now. It's a keli. It'll break one day? Who cares, it'll break one day? You, spoiled American Nassau County New Yorker, throw your kli out when you're done. Not everyone's like you. Some people use it over and over again. Because that's just how they are. That's their cooking habit. Some people, they can't afford so many of these things. So they reuse it as much as possible. Just because your norms should not be koveh halacha for everybody in the world. In fact, it shouldn't even be koveh halacha for you. It's a kli, Rav Shechter says. So he was not convinced at all by Rav Moshe. And that said, Chacham En Tzion Ava Shaul is reportedly said, it's disposable, your kavana, if you're going to chuck it, it's not a kli. Not a kli. So therefore, Chacham En Tzion said, you don't have to take the aluminum pans to the mikveh. Now, let's go back to the original question. Is it mutar to open a soda can on Shabbat? Who holds mutar, who holds asur? Rabbi Elias, you told us before. You know, mutar. According to? I can't hear you. According to? You don't want to answer? You're muted.
Rav Avadia
says it's mutar. Meaning Rav Avadia held it was a kli already before you got it.
Right.
So then according to Chacham Avadia, it's a metal kli used for food. Got to take it to the mikveh. And in fact, in a paragraph, in a footnote, in Chazon Ovadia, Shabbat, Chelek Bet, Chavadya says the chumrah that nobody wants to follow, you have to take all of the aluminum pans to the mikveh. And I just saw those hands fall. Kobe and Ariel is astonished, flabbergasted. He doesn't have any, he has no words. He has to, his face is going to fall. Yeah, Chacham Avadi holds you have to take them all to the mikveh. Don't go home tonight and say, Rabbi, fanatik, goft, kib, don't do it. Let me finish this year. Let me just make sure. Who has to daven Arvit? You all daven already? Arya has to daven still. Okay, fine. Arya, I'm apologizing. I'm going to go over. I apologize. But you'll get it. Kitzer, you don't have to. But we'll get there. Fine. So, the Ravadio is that you do. Now, Morinu v'Rabbeinu, Ateret Roshenu, Harav Ben Chaim Shalita, holds like Rav Moshe Feinstein. So everybody's safe. Don't worry about it. Everybody's safe. I'm sorry I just gave you such suspense. Kapara Basha. But Rav Ben Chaim holds like Rav Moshe. He thinks Rav Moshe got it right. Rav Adi is wrong. He holds his mutar. What does he say about Shabbat, opening them on Shabbat? I didn't ask him. I forgot to. This is one of his shitot, five shitot in Tevilat Kelim. Now, for all the Rav Adiniks out there, and there are many of them, especially there's one big one out there called the Badatz Beit Yosef, the kashrut organization run by Rav Moshe Yosef, Rav Avadia's son. They have to figure out, wait a minute, we have a problem. We have a kashrut organization. We have restaurants. We have people buying food in which we put these, we put into these aluminum containers. How are we supposed to live like this? We can't run a business, a hashgacha, where we force all of our clients to take all their aluminum to the mikveh. What are they supposed to do? Sell it to an Ashkenazi? How is this going to happen? So, we have the privilege, Baruch Hashem, of having big Talmidei Chachamim in the world. One of them is Rav Ovadia's grandson, we spoke about last week. Chacham Ovadia Yosef Toledano, who is a grandson of Ovadia, he wrote a sefer called Meshiv Mishpat. It's a Sheil Kishuot sefer, two volumes so far. He's a Dayan in Rav Asher Weiss's Beit Din, and he has a Gishmak sefer, great Shailot Teshuvot, in addition to other Svarim on Choshen Mishpat topics, like Mishpat HaKinyan. So in Mishpat HaKinyan, he tells you, in a couple pages, you should know, that this question of whether or not disposables are a kli or not, is a question in Kol HaTorah Kula. Opening them on Shabbat. Using it for Kiddush. If it's not a kli, you can't say Kiddush with it. You can't use it for Netilat Yadayim, he says. And various other issues that come up as well, Tevilat Kelim, and also Kinyan Chalipin, to do the handkerchief, doesn't work if it's not a Kli. So all those issues depend on this question, is it a Kli or not? Chacham Avadi holds, it's a Kli already, the aluminum Kli. So therefore the Badatz turned to Chacham Avadi and said, okay Abba, very nice, so what are we supposed to do now? And he said, I don't have time to deal with this, send it to my grandson, Ovadia Yosef Toledano. So Ovadia Toledano wrote a two teshuvot on this topic, where he basically says, he gives an etzah of how potentially, theoretically, a company could purchase all of the materials, the workers, and the factory in China in order to mass-produce kelim that are owned by Jews for Tevilat Kelim. As we discussed earlier in earlier shiurim, that for Sfaradim, all that matters is who owns the material. If the Yid owns the material, for Sfaradim, Kasher, no tzvila required at all. We don't care about Uman Kone Bishvah Kli. The fact that a non-Jewish worker invested in the appreciation of this Kli doesn't matter to us, but for the Rama, it does. And we also discussed how for factories, there are certain kulot of the Chochmar Adam, and Homach Loket about them. So, Chacham Ovadia Yosef Toledano says, what you do to get around all these issues, which we said there are many issues, there are companies that try to do this all the time for things. They try to manufacture things like the urns and whatever that don't require tzvila, and there are lots of setbacks in all the different kinyanim that they have to do in order to have to fully acquire the metals and make sure that they get them that are, once they're produced for the Jews. We spoke about Hagba'a, Meshicha, Chatzer, Agav, Situmta, Minaga Sochrim, Dina de Malchuta, and Shtar, and maybe one other, and Odita. We spoke about all those Kinyanim Baruch Hashem at length. I summarized them, I put them in a chart. You can take a look at all of them. You have to do so many kinyanim, just like Mechiyar Chametz we said, because each one of them has an issue. This one doesn't work min haTorah, and we want it to work min haTorah. This one doesn't work for Goyim, and we want it to work for Goyim. And therefore we do so many different kinyanim to cover all of our bases. They have halachic issues of you need to be there to do the kinyan, and the logistical issues of you need to be there in China to do the kinyan doesn't always work. These runs take days, minutes, months, and there's so much going on in these factories. There's 60 different companies using one factory. They can't possibly manage things to scale. So Rav Toledano gives etzas of how to properly, using all the kinyanim we discussed already, how to properly be kone, the factory, the workers, so that it's all Uman Yisrael, and it's all owned by a Jew, factory and materials, for everybody, Ashkenazim and Sfaradim, to feel comfortable using these kelim produced, the aluminum produced by the factory, without taking it to the mikveh. For Sfaradim, for sure it's fine without purchasing the factory and the workers. But there are still issues, because even if you own the materials, who says the materials you're getting are the ones that you purchased and the ones that they made for you? Meaning, you tell them on video chat, guys, take a forklift. We rented out a corner over there in the back of the factory. Take all of the metal, put it in the corner, put it down. That's ours now because it's our chatzer. And then go make it and send it to us. There's no ashgach on that. How do you know it's happening? So if Taladano says, no problem. You rent the entire factory space and you make it tanai. That we are kone all metals in the factory right now. And anything that will be brought into the factory later. That way, if they run out of anything and they have to bring in more, so you got it. And you're not limited to a little space. The entire factory floor is yours. So your Kinyan Chatzer works, and it continues to work consistently, continuously, every time more materials are introduced. Chacham Elias, you have a question?
The factory owner has to agree to this?
Yeah, and they're legit about it. They write a shitar. They take care of all the insurance liabilities, he says, and they handle all the contracts, and they make it into a very legit operation. And they say that whenever we'll make a kinyan one time now, and whenever we have further runs with you people in China, we're doing it al pi our original kinyan, and therefore they don't have to be there again in order to run it all. And that is how they do it.
So this is only enforced for the runs of their own material?
Correct, yeah. It's automatically undone when they're done with their run.
That's a farce.
Oh, Rav Asher Weiss says the whole thing's a farce.
It's like A to Z. You're drafting an invalid document. That's like...
So Rav Asher Weiss said the whole thing makes no sense. These workers don't have a clue what's going on. They don't know that they're under Jewish auspices all of a sudden. They don't know that the Jews are paying their salary. The Jews aren't paying their salary. The Jews aren't paying for the insurance liability. Rav Toledano says back, but we put it all in the shtar. And the owners of the factory agree to everything we said, and al pi halacha, that's enough. And Rav Weiss is like, no, this is a whole joke. The whole thing's a joke, Rav Asher Weiss says. We don't believe in this. But Chacham Avadia did. Chacham Avadia believed, he agreed. Before Rav Avadia died, Rav Toledano wrote part one of this teshuvah. Rav Avadia saw it, and he agreed. And after Rav Avadia died, a company called Ta'aman, which is a real company in Israel, actually did this. They actually went and got kelim. They got materials. They found a factory that was interested in joining them in this process, and they basically struck up a deal with them. And the factory just said, "Like, we can't do this every single time." So they said, "Okay, we'll take care of it. We'll put it in the contract that it works every single time." And whatever it is, and then that's what they did. And because of that, you have this nice, gorgeous-looking, professionally made aluminum pan made in China. Ta'aman logo right there on the top. And if you look a little bit carefully, you see that right here. There's a Badatz Beit Yosef, and underneath it says Kasher LePesach, and it says, it's hard to read out, but this is the best quality I could find on their website, Gemar HaMilacha. Naaseh birushut Yehudi. The finishing melacha was done al yedei Yehudi. Ve'ein tzarich tevila. Tavila is not required. That was what happened to the Badat Beit Yosef. A few years after Chacham Avadia died, they pulled this off. And Taaman now does this. Now they have to take care of selling to Arabs. That doesn't work, because once they sell to a non-Jew, it ruins everything, right? But aside for that, this is what they decided to do against Rav Asher Weiss. He's not their posek. He didn't like it, okay? If you look on the left, there is a Badat Eidah Haridit, or Rav Rubin, or whoever it is. I think it's Eidah Haridit. Yeah, there's an Eidah Haridit there on the left. And it says it's Kasher LePesach, and underneath it is two words. Miuva Michul. It's brought from Chutz La'aretz. Apparently, I saw on a different website, that anything that's Badatz Eidah Haridit aluminum stam, doesn't say anything else in Israel, is made in a Jewish factory. Anything that says Miuva Michul is brought from Chutz La'aretz is made in a non-Jewish factory. And therefore, if you hold that it has to go to the mikveh, it has to go to the mikveh. So then they have a separate hashgacha from the Badatz Beit Yosef, saying that they did everything that they could according to halacha in order to make sure that it was done appropriately. So this was the teshuvah of Rav Toledano. Rav Asher Weiss was really not a fan of this. Rav Asher Weiss is an expert in Choshen Mishpat. He doesn't like things that don't make sense. He thinks it doesn't make sense. And so he was not really a fan of this whole idea. But once Taman started doing this, they wanted to do it for more things. They wanted to do it for porcelain, hotels, and then porcelain's a machloket. Hotels are a machloket. So they figured, let's make everybody happy. Let's import these Jewish-owned stuff for the hotels, and therefore the hotels won't have any she'elot. Rav Asher Weiss said, I don't believe in this. Sorry. But they still did it. I think they're still doing it. As much as Rav Toledano says. Part of this conversation was the whole question of corporations. Who owns the corporation? Is the corporation really Jewish? Is it a person? Is it not a person? This is a big discussion also. Some say that corporations are an independent entity that has no halachic binding. It's not a human being at all, so therefore the kelim from a corporation don't require tzvila. Or at least there's no beracha. We spoke about that a couple weeks ago. Arya really liked that topic. That's why I sent a link earlier this week about it. And Rav Asher Weiss says, listen, there's three groups in charge of the corporation. There's the CEO, the board, and the shareholders. If they're all non-Jewish, then it stays non-Jewish. You don't make it all of a sudden into a separate thing, abstract, invisible entity. If it's all non-Jewish, it stays non-Jewish. And this was really what came out, Baruch Hashem, from this question of disposables. Chacham Avadia holds that it has to have tevilah, and there are great ways to get around it if it's done with the right kinyanim and halacha. When we spoke about it a couple weeks ago, manufacturing, mass producing, we saw Rav David Cohen pointed out a lot of difficulties in this procedure. So then afterwards, I finally got around to meeting Rav Toledano's teshuvah, and he says, I found a way to get around them. Just make it tonight. Get a chatzer the entire place, not just a part of the factory. And that way you get everything, and then we'll do all the other kinyanim, as we said, and everything is good and kasher. Baruch Adonai Leolam, Amen V'Amen. We learned Baruch Hashem, Tevilat Kelim in Orachaim, in Yoredeya, in Choshen Mishpat. Did we learn Avina Ezer? Not really. Don't have to take a ring to the mikveh. I guess that maybe that counts. We explored Tevilat Kelim from many different aspects, and it was a pleasure going through it with you guys. Thank you for joining me for the journey. Looking forward to the next chapter, the next series of our Chavura Be'ezrat Hashem. From what I understand, it's going to be Zimun and Birkat HaMazon for a few weeks, and then we'll pick a new topic, Be'ezrat Hashem. Thank you very much, guys. You're great.
Thank you so much.
Ashreichem, Ashreichem. All right, have a great week. See you next week, Be'ezrat Hashem. Everybody should stay safe. All right. Erev Tov. Bye-bye.